Thanks, Greg. I'm in the dressing room with Sima Trpceski, who just gave us a dazzling performance of Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. And Mr. Trpceski, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, by the way.
It's actually fantastic pronunciation, I must say. Almost like a Macedonian.
Oh, my goodness. A wonderful performance. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. It is certainly kind of a special motivation and inspiration to play with this fantastic orchestra. They are really, really wonderful people who just make you fly, if I can say, on stage, because everything is going so smooth and natural somehow. And you're basically allowed to do anything, and they're there with you. And especially with this piece, because, okay, we know that there is such a history with Rachmaninoff's music and this orchestra, but just in general, I think the feeling is that one can only dream to play with this kind of orchestra. So I'm certainly very happy and honored to be back.
Well, the Rachmaninoff is one of these pieces, and we were talking about this earlier, that is deceptive. It doesn't look all that hard until you get into the rehearsals on it, and all of a sudden, it's just, it's full of booby traps.
It can be a nightmare, huh? Yes, many people, you know, just because of its popularity, and they think, as you say, yeah, it's music, so approachable and so wonderful to the ears. But actually, the mastermind of Rachmaninoff and all his experience from before, because this is a piece from his, well, let's say later period, well, the last piece for piano and orchestra. So he was already such an experienced composer and pianist at the same time at that period that he really was experimenting even more with all the tricks in the orchestration and in his own creativity. So when, as you say, and you're yourself a musician, as you say, once you enter into it, you can see that this is actually not a joke at all. And for the craftsmanship, you must be very much aware where you are, very much aware of the whole orchestration and everything that is going on around you. And, of course, to pay attention to what the conductor as a leader is doing there to help, obviously, like for every other piece. But I must say that with all these effects that Rachmaninoff made out of this beautiful and popular tune by Paganini, it's actually a great fun to play this piece.
Yeah, it strikes me as a bit of ahead of its time in respect to the Paganini caprice itself. It's the 24th caprice, as I understand it. The piece itself almost seems like it was pointing ahead to the 20th century, just as a solo work. And Rachmaninoff must have understood that, because the piece comes off as very cosmopolitan.
Well, used by other composers as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, Rachmaninoff was captured by its simplicity in a way, but on the other hand, also it allowed him to go much further into all the different kinds of atmospheres that can be brought out of it. But this is where comes the genius of Rachmaninoff, on the other hand. I mean, to come up with one of the most famous melodies in his repertoire out of this theme, ta-ra-da-ra-dam, and in inversion, ti-ra-ba-ra-bam. And then to make out of it another mark of his typical musical personality, it's certainly something that, I mean, another thing that shows how deep he could actually go. And this piece actually shows, well, the three main sections of these variations, but in each of the variations he shows totally different sides of his personality. A little bit of humor, a little bit of irony, lots of mysterious moments. Yes. The forever occupied theme in his head, the Dies Irae, that appears a couple of times in the whole piece, and exploring totally different challenges at the piano as his instrument, and blending it with the challenges of the orchestra. It is a vast orchestration, so we have a full symphony orchestra, lots of use of the percussion especially, well, we have the harp on top of that. So all these sparkling moments that he wanted to use, where he wanted to make the piece even more crisp, even more charming, I would say, and for that matter, even more interesting for the audience to hear, because he was obviously not totally convinced about his fourth piano concerto, for example. And then he made cuts and he reviewed it, but this was in a way a challenge for him, because it was a new piece for piano and orchestra with which he was going to show himself in front of the audiences. Obviously it was a great success. And I forgot to mention even the, of course, the jazz tricks and the jazz harmonies that obviously they are known for his musical language, when I was talking previously. But it is certainly, I wanted to say, a challenge for the pianist, not as much as, I don't know, the third piano concerto or even the second, let's say even the third movement of the first piano concerto, but it is certainly, as a concept, totally different, of course. And all these different moods and different technical issues in each of the variations makes it challenging and interesting, as I said. I am honored that I was given this chance to play this piece here with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Certainly a great maestro like Gian Adriano Zeda is more than helpful in this situation. So I'm very happy for sure.
Oh, well, it sounded beautiful, and I'm just so pleased I was able to be out there to listen to it. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us.
Great honor for me, and many regards to all the listeners.